The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov. I was looking at a very emotional video clip which showed the Israeli search and rescue team that has been out at that disaster site in Surfside, Florida. And of course, now that so much time has passed, there is absolutely no hope of finding any more survivors. And as such, the Israeli search and rescue team decided that they've really done whatever they can do under the circumstances, and they departed the site to come home again. And the video shows them leaving the site for the last time as they're on their way home. And they come through what is only what can only be considered to be a tunnel of glory, as the other search and rescue teams stand on each side of the road and applaud them as they walk down out of the site with the Israeli flag held high in their military outfits, you know, in their working gear, effectively. I felt very emotional when I watched that video and very moved, because I think it's amazing to get such recognition, glory almost, from fellow members of the team who've been working there, obviously showing their appreciation for the fact that the team had come down there. And we already discussed the fact that Jewish community felt some type of relief that the Israeli team was on site. But I think that this was recognition from their fellow workers, you know, non-Jewish workers. I was extremely proud and moved to see the video.
It was an incredible, incredible video. I absolutely agree with you. Very moving, because it was just, it was so authentic. There was nothing that when you looked at that thought this is contrived. That's, I think, why we felt, or people felt so emotional when you watched it, because it was genuine. It wasn't a coordinated, event. It was just all very, very genuine.
True, not a public relations effort. It was just real on the ground stuff. And of course, against the backdrop of the disaster zone, which was in the site, one couldn't forget the fact that there's still victims that are buried under that rubble that need to their bodies need to be somehow recovered.
And amazing, absolutely amazing. Let's talk about what Israel is now doing in terms of a quarantine. There was a decision made yesterday, wasn't there?
Yeah, a decision was made by the Corona Cabinet yesterday to reduce the quarantine period to 7 days, the isolation period that's required in the event that people come into contact with a COVID carrier, with somebody who's been diagnosed as a COVID carrier, or indeed if people come from abroad and somehow cannot supply the required paperwork that allows them to move around freely, then people are expected to go into quarantine. And having said that, even if you come into contact with a known COVID carrier and you actually have been vaccinated, the current law does not require you to go into quarantine. So the quarantine applies very, very specifically to certain types of people. And up until now, the quarantine period has been 14 days. But if on the 9th or the 10th day of your quarantine period, you were able to get a PCR test which showed up negative, then effectively you could reduce your quarantine period down to 10 days. That was the law up until now. Yesterday, that all changed, and the quarantine period has now been reduced to 7 days, providing on the 7th day you're able to get a negative PCR test. And a lot of people are saying this seems a little bit strange. Why has the quarantine period been reduced? Surely, if beforehand we felt that people were contagious after 10 or 14 days, why all of a sudden now is 7 days okay? Are we effectively allowing people to roam the streets who could potentially be infectious and could infect other people by reducing the quarantine period? And it was interesting to listen to Prime Minister Naftali Bennett talk about this after the cabinet meeting yesterday. His concern is that the 10-day or the 14-day period, depending on how things transpire, effectively gives incentive to people to lay low and not to have tests and not to be not to be formally identified as needing to go into quarantine because the commitment is so much to have to be locked down for that 10 or 14 day period.
I was wondering.
People are lying low, don't want to be tested, would prefer to be contagious in an unknown way so that they're not forced to go into quarantine. And of course that presents a great deal of threat to our community. So instead of giving incentive to people to try to avoid that quarantine period, he's decided that a shorter quarantine period would be better. It would allow those people to come out of the woodwork and to potentially present themselves to volunteer to be tested or whatever needs to be done in order to identify who they are, and for them to go into quarantine even for a shorter period. So his view is that a shorter period is better because it's more likely to get more people who need to be quarantined in place and have them locked down rather than give them incentive to lie low and to move around in a way that could infect people. So I thought it was an interesting way of
very
thinking
interesting.
About these.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether it stacks up scientifically, but it's a very interesting way because his concern, of course, is that people who ought to be quarantined are not being quarantined because they feel that it's just too long to have to lie low and to be locked up. So that's the reason why this has been changed, and he made that quite clear in an interview that he gave to the press yesterday. He's also encouraged people to wear masks, to be vaccinated. An interesting study going on in Israel at the moment about assessing whether children aged 5 to 11 could potentially be vaccinated. Now, I think Israel, as far as I'm aware, is the only country that is vaccinating children under the age of 18, the 12 to 18 category. I haven't heard of other countries that are vaccinating. There may well be, but I'm not aware of it. But now, interestingly, we're also looking at the possibility of vaccinating children 5 to 11 years old. And a certain study has already been presented which suggests that children who happen to fall into a high risk category of some sort may well justify being vaccinated even if they are under the age of 12, those in the age group of 5 to 11. So just another interesting little angle that's coming out of the coronavirus environment here in Israel.
Yeah, that is really, really interesting. Moving on to other subjects, the government plans to implement a congestion charge for drivers in the Tel Aviv area.
So this is has been something which has been discussed already for some time. The idea is not necessarily to raise money for the government or the city of Tel Aviv, but it's obviously to try to reduce the massive traffic congestion that is currently the case in Tel Aviv. Some of that traffic congestion, by the way, is being caused by the fact that they are constructing the light rail system, which is also designed to reduce the amount of the number of cars on the road in Tel Aviv. And of course, in the process of that construction and the disruption that is involved in the construction process, of course, it creates massive traffic congestion in Tel Aviv. So the government has decided that they would like to introduce this bill, which will apparently form part of the national government. The national government budget that will be presented to the Knesset in the near future. And the idea it will be that Tel Aviv will be divided into three fee zones, central Tel Aviv, an outer ring and an inner ring, three kind of zones, and that drivers coming into Tel Aviv between the hours of 6:30 and 10 in the morning or between 3 and 7 in the afternoon will be required to pay a certain fee in order to enter any one or all of those three identified fee zones. There will be a system of cameras that will be set up that will simply just photograph your number plate as you drive in. If you have some sort of a membership, which apparently you will be able to take out in order to reduce the amount that you pay, then your membership will simply be charged automatically. If you don't have a membership, then you will be charged at the fee for people who don't have memberships, and it will be sent to you, I'm guessing, in the mail, or of course identity plate numbers, motor car vehicle numbers are recorded on a database and people will be sent the charge. So it'll all be just charged through camera systems that will be set up around Tel Aviv. And we are told that the maximum fee payable in any one day will come to 37 and a half shekels. That's if you travel both in the morning period and in the afternoon period. If you enter all three zones, those fee-paying zones, both in the morning and in the afternoon, then your daily charge could be as much as 37 and a half shekels. Obviously, it goes down from there according to what traveling you do and at what hours you travel. So that is the current idea. Apparently, this has been implemented in cities like London and Singapore and Stockholm with some level of success to try to reduce the traffic flow. But I think that this system will definitely cause drivers to think twice about whether they wish enter Tel Aviv in their car during those hours. Obviously, taxis and buses and emergency vehicles and some other service vehicles will be exempt from the charge, but all other drivers apparently will have to begin to pay to enter Tel Aviv. And, you know, this is just part of a much greater initiative to reduce the number of cars in Tel Aviv in general. It doesn't only include the light rail system, which is under construction, and as I said before, causing a lot of traffic disruption in Tel Aviv. It also includes the reduction of the number of parking spaces that are being allocated to residents of the city so that they actually don't have anywhere to park their cars. Parking in Tel Aviv is at a premium at the moment. It costs a lot of money, and now it's even going to cost money in order to simply drive your car through the city.
Amazing. Really incredible, the lengths that they're going to. But if that wasn't enough, there's more. This can't be a true story. This can't be, Anthony, this can't be a true story.
This is a true story. This is a real story, Howard.
Tel Aviv dog owners are being forced to register their dog's DNA with the municipality.
Yes, that is correct. So let's start with the fact that apparently the city of Tel Aviv-Yafo is one of the cities with the highest ratio of people to dogs in the world. Apparently, one in every 11 people in Tel Aviv own a dog. And, of course, so many people living in Tel Aviv live in apartments. And so the idea is, of course, that if you own a dog, you are obliged to take your dog walking in the street a few times a day, not only for exercise, but for toilet duties, because the dogs don't have a way of doing toilet while they're in the apartments. And this has resulted in a lot of pollution around the city of Tel Aviv. The municipality apparently calculated that it has an estimated 500 kilograms of dog feces that are not picked up from the street every month. And even though they have these the system of what they call saki kaki, which is a bag that they distribute on the street.
I feel like you're making this whole story up.
This is all true. This is all true. It's not April Fool's.
I'm thinking it's the 14th of July. It's the middle of Av. I can't think of why this
field day. I don't know anything.
Nothing. It seems real. It's real.
It's all real. It's all real. And there's a massive, massive pollution problem in the city of Tel Aviv in particular, but also other cities around Israel. And so the municipality has decided that in order to police this more effectively, they're going to require every single dog owner to register the DNA of their dog with the municipality. And if they find a pile of poo in the street, they're actually going to do a DNA test on it, and they're going to find whose dog it belongs to. And you, if you are the dog owner, will receive a fine for pollution. You will receive a cost of having undertaken that DNA test. You will have to pay for all of that, and they're going to know exactly who you are. So this is how serious the city of Tel Aviv is about cleaning up the dog mess that is currently in evidence apparently around the streets of Tel Aviv. By the way, I mean, we see it in other cities too, perhaps not to quite to the same degree. It has become very, very understood, socially acceptable, politically correct, required of dog owners to go around with the relevant bags in order to pick up any dog mess that they leave around the streets. But I can tell you that there are people who try to, you know, hide themselves below the radar, try to not get noticed, let their dog do a poo on the side and then do a runner without picking it up. There are people who still do that. But now in Tel Aviv, you are going to be found. There is no escape for the citizens of Tel Aviv now once all the DNA has been registered.
It's very seldom and very rare that I actually have nothing to respond. But you know, when you're talking about doing a runner, then you had me there completely. Wow. So you have to register your dog and then they'll, I mean, this is first world problems if ever I've heard them.
They're going to actually be testing every pile of dog poo for DNA. I mean, that's going to be a fascinating job for somebody, I'm guessing.
Right? Well, I'm just thinking, wow. I mean, how do you tell people what you do?
Well, you can tell them that you earn the city a lot of money, probably.
All right. Yeah. Well,
I'm in the business of cleaning up the dogs, the right. streets of Tel Aviv.
environmental.
Exactly.
Yeah, wow. Exactly. Okay. Anthony Reich.
So that is a real dog. That's a real story.
It's a real story.
No jokes.
Yeah, I need reaction. 34519 or 0618951019. What? I mean, you know, just looking at it, the contrast between what is going on in South Africa at the moment and this story is so telling that it is almost impossible for us to conceptualize. But that's what it is. It is 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 High FM.